The Constitution was adopted on September 17, 1787, by the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia. Those who signed the document on that day could never have envisioned the kinds of media we have today, such as cameras and microphones. Roger Sadler of Western Illinois University's Broadcasting Department says the use of that equipment in courtrooms has its pros and cons.
We as media people, we like to have cameras in the courtroom so we can capture it, so we can see what's going on. The public likes to see it as well. It's very educational. But there are some drawbacks to it because the presence of the cameras can really affect how people behave in the courtroom. And it can affect sometimes the outcome of the trial people feel.
Sadler says there are concerns that some people are tried through the media instead of through the legal process. And he says some judges still don't like having cameras in their courtroom. Sadler is one of four WIU scholars who marked the Constitution's anniversary by exercising their right to free speech. The panel discussion was hosted by the Centennial Honors College and the University Libraries. It also featured Kimberly Rice of the Political Science Department. She says the recent actions of WikiLeaks, Edward Snowden, and Glenn Greenwald can be compared to Daniel Ellsberg and the Pentagon Papers. However, she cautions things are different today because of the increasingly competitive political climate and the around-the-clock news cycle.
And so we're going to have to decide in this increasingly competitive political environment and in an environment where information is so free and so universal and so accessible at any moment and at the touch of a fingertip, how that is going to affect our understanding, our interpretation, and our belief in this particular clause. Will we continue to see the press as being there for the governed and not for the governors?
Rice says the extent of any liberty granted by the Bill of Rights is often up for debate. She says the U.S. Supreme Court is charged with interpreting the Constitution in a way consistent with the spirit of the amendments. Money, as it does with so many things, comes into play with the First Amendment. Mariah Carncross of University Libraries says colleges and universities are looking for ways to cut costs, while at the same time, it's getting really expensive to publish or purchase scholarly work. And for college teachers seeking tenure, it's important to have work accepted by a recognized publication.
So, in fact, actually, most of the worldwide freedom of the press, freedom of information laws don't make any provision for private corporations like publishers. Usually their jurisdiction is just the government. But this is really problematic because private publishers control the flow of information in our modern society. It's not really the government, and especially this is true in the area of scholarly communications. So even though this control isn't prohibited explicitly by the letter of the Constitution, you could argue that there's a tension between sort of the spirit of the Constitution and the idea of access to information and to publish one's own works and the letter of the law, which sort of grants the publishers certain rights.
Carncross believes the traditional publishing structure will be dismantled over time and open access will gain greater acceptance. Carncross is a former journalist. She says now as a librarian, her definition of press has expanded and says the U.S. Supreme Court has defined press as every sort of publication that affords a vehicle of information and opinion. Someone who emphasizes that idea of information is Yon Tong of the English and Journalism Department. He worked for the People's Daily in China for 15 years. Tong says the U.S. Constitution is what makes America unique and strong. He says almost no one in China takes that nation's constitution very seriously. But Tong believes the U.S. Constitution's First Amendment should be strengthened.
Freedom of information or legal right of access should be afforded constitutional protection. In other words, freedom of information should become one part of our First Amendment right. Without such a First Amendment protection, our Freedom of Information Act system is becoming breaking down. It becomes toothless.
Tong says it can be argued that without freedom of information, freedom of speech and freedom of the press are meaningless. He says people must be informed before they can understand and critique what the government is doing. Rich Egger reporting.